Good afternoon, everybody. This is Andrea, and I would like to welcome you to our July webinar and podcast episode. Just a quick thank you to our webinar partner, QuickFee. I'll provide a bit more information at the end of this session about a special offer we have from QuickFee. And before we get started, just a reminder about asking questions. If you're joining us live today, you have the opportunity to ask a question at any time. Just use the Q&A function on your Zoom control panel, and that will be answered at the end of this session. If you're viewing the recording or listening to the podcast later and would like to ask a question, feel free to contact us directly at smithinc.com. I'm now going to hand over to David Smith, SmithInc Director, who will be discussing KPIs that work. Over to you, David.
Thanks, Andrea, and good afternoon, good morning to everyone, depending on where you are. Hope you're surviving your lockdowns. If you're in a lockdown spot, I'm coming to you from Port Stephens, where we're not so much locked down, we're locked out. In other words, we're not really, whilst we're not locked down here, we can't really go anywhere. So it's an interesting world that we're in, isn't it? So it did occur to me that the concept of having good performance measurement and accountability is probably even more important in a lockdown environment where you've got a whole lot of people working from home, that people have a good understanding of what's expected of them. We have a good reporting mechanism so we know exactly how we're tracking on our work, because obviously it's a lot more difficult. You don't have the luxury of management by walking around to see how people are going when they're all working from home. So whilst it wasn't in our planning when we came up with this webinar topic earlier in the year, it's actually quite a good time to be talking about this. Now, in many firms, the key performance measures that are played around with to see how to manage the firm quite often are around these things: percentage productivity, gross billings, and write-offs, etc. And whilst they all have merit, more as sort of lag indicators in a sense, and giving you a sense about how the firm perhaps is tracking, I don't necessarily think that they're great performance indicators for individuals, and should be used as a way of managing individual performance. If I take percentage productivity, which I know many of you would be using in one form or another, it does provide you with a bit of a guide as to whether people are doing their timesheets properly, whether we're getting productive input that we were expecting. But whilst we might be looking at those things, I wouldn't be putting that measure in front of my team members, because it's not something which I think they can relate to as well as other measures, which I'll get to in a minute. This slide here really just covers off why measuring productive hours is not necessarily a good thing. And the primary reason for that is because the employee themselves doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of control over how the percentage productivity that they can achieve, because, we might, want them to do marketing, training, other activities, and you don't want to you don't want them getting into a thought process of thinking to themselves, well, like, I shouldn't be doing training, or I shouldn't be doing marketing, because I need to get my productivity percentage up. So I think it creates the wrong sort of behavior on team members by really emphasizing a certain percentage productivity that you would expect them to achieve. And for many team members, it can become demotivating, because they've got these measures put in front of them that they might feel is not really all that achievable, and can therefore have a negative influence on them. The first thing that we need to be thinking about, what are the objectives of having good performance management? And we really should be thinking about what gives value to the business. What are the things that clients will value and be willing to pay for, and can we measure those things? you want your team member thinking about what can they do in terms of making a difference to improve the overall performance of the firm. So you want to have measures and targets that are directly related to that. And then you need to think about what are the levers that we need to pull to create that value. So hopefully out of this presentation, you'll get a sense of that and some things that you can think about implementing in your practice. One of the things which I think many firms struggle with is the actual concept of accountability itself. Yes, you can sit down with a team member and say, I'm not happy with your performance. But that's not really where it should end. The most important thing that I think needs to be done with accountability is to say, these are the targets that we set you. We haven't met those targets. And then what you want to then do is to turn that into action. You need to have the conversation with the team member to say, or the team, depending on which targets we're talking about, what are the things, what are the actions, what are the things that we need to do in the business to turn that negative performance around, to correct the situation? And you need to agree those actions and then manage that action plan going forward. Because having the conversation about the performance is not enough. You need to turn it into action for things that we're going to do to rectify the situation. Excuse me. So the first thing is managing. How do you manage an individual? And the most important thing in my mind is that we have to strive to have targets that the individual feels they've got power over to manage. And then we've got to provide quality feedback about that. So if you think about a team member sitting in a team doing a task, what are the things that they can have influence over in terms of doing that task? That's what we need to focus upon. And so in my mind, the most important thing that a team member has some control over is the budget for the job. Now, when I mean budget for the job, I'm talking about an hour's budget, not a dollar's budget. So in other words, you want to tell the team member, this job should take you no more than 7 hours and I need it by this date. They're the two things that the team member is expected to manage. Whatever we bill the client is not really their issue. That's the issue for the manager or the partner on how much we're going to bill. What the team member can control is the number of hours and the deadline for getting it done. So I think that it is fundamental to running a great compliance practice, not even just compliance, but any task, be it business advice or anything else that you're providing, to chunk it down into bite-sized chunks and say, this bit should take you so many hours and I need it by this date. So that is quite clear to the team member. They can then manage to that. The second piece to this is the team member then must ring the bell if they're either going to miss the deadline or they can't do it in the hour set. And they need to ring the bell before the problem has happened, because we need to know whether or not a problem is going to emerge. Because there's logical reasons why an hour's budget may not be met. It might be they've been given poor instructions. It could be that the information coming from the client this year is a lot worse than it was last year, in which case we need to be going back to the client and saying to them that there's a problem and that their fees might be higher because we have to do more work on their information. It could be that the team member is uncertain as to what to do and might be doing too much work, for instance, and needs a better pre-job briefing to be able to ensure they're doing the work right. There could be a whole lot of reasons why a team member may not be able to do the work for the hours set. There should be no penalty for the team member to ring the bell and say, I've got a problem, I can't do it in those hours. Where the penalty or where you should get upset with a team member is when they don't ring the bell and the job is blown out. And so there's been no warning that there is an issue. So that is the message that needs to be communicated. If either the deadline or the number of hours are not going to be met, the team member has to be proactive in ringing the bell. And if they're not proactive in ringing the bell, then that's a further discussion that they need to improve that going forward. And if you do this effectively, you can really get supercharge the productivity of the firm. One of the questions that's been put to me, but David, if we're not managing productive hours, how do we ensure we get productivity? Well, the answer in my mind is quite simple to that. We're giving out this work to team members with hours budgets. You just fill them up with enough hours of work based on all the jobs you give them, and that will get you the productivity numbers. So it all comes down to doing high quality hours budgets for jobs and communicating that effectively to team members is the far and away the best way to manage a team member. Many of you have heard me talk about this before. End of engagement reviews, I think, is a critical thing. When you get to the end of the job, are we doing a little 10-minute chat between the reviewer and the doer to go through what worked in the job, what didn't work, what the team member did well, how can we get the client better organised, what should be our time budget for next year, etc. Doing that at the end of every job is a great way to round it out, give the team member feedback, think about how we can do the job better next year. It's a really effective process, shouldn't take more than 5 or 10 minutes, but it's a great way of just recapping what's happened and resetting how we'll do the job in future years. I can't encourage more for you to think about implementing a very simple process like that to provide that feedback and do a reset on each job to improve our performance as we go forward. The last item on this list, by the way, is score the job. And what that means is essentially play like a school teacher and say, I'll give you a 7 out of 10 for that or an 8 out of 10 for that. And the logic behind that is that if somebody's given a score of sort of 7 out of 10, their obvious question is going to be, how do I get an 8? How do I get a 9? And so that then gives you the opportunity to once again focus about how we can do this job better going forward. So think about implementing these end of engagement reviews. As I say, it's not a checklist to be completed. It's a conversation between the reviewer and the doer to provide that effective feedback. The other thing which I don't think many firms do all that effectively is the annual or semi-annual performance reviews. From many team members, they've said to me, the performance reviews that I get doesn't help me at all, and I find the whole process somewhat painful. I suspect for many managers and partners in many firms, they feel the same way, that the whole process is somewhat painful. I would like to recommend that to move away from a performance review system where there's a whole lot of forms to be filled out by the team member and the reviewer, etc. I don't think that that's all that productive, and turn it into a career development plan where essentially you're talking to the team member about how they can develop their career. What are the things that they need to do to improve? What are the things that we, the leaders of the firm, need to do to to help them improve, create that into an action list that we will then actively manage every quarter to make certain we've done the agreed actions. And that gives some accountability to the team member to do the things that they have agreed that they will do, but also to the firm to say, we're going to do these things as well. And in that way, we're advancing the team member. And if they're doing some things not as well as we'd like, that would all be sitting in the career development plan. If you want to develop yourself further, we need these things rectified, and that would sort of end up on the action list. So think about your annual performance reviews and think about changing it around to be focusing perhaps more on developing the career of the individual rather than just sort of some tick the box assessment of their performance on a checklist based thing. When you talk to team members, what they really want is feedback. And the idea between these career development plans, the idea behind that is to give effective feedback and a sense of direction about where they're heading in the business. Now, changing behaviour is hard, and it's always good to have a bit of accountability. Here's three examples where changing behaviour is hard. First is doing needs reviews of clients. And Mark Holton and I have spoken many times about doing needs reviews of clients where we're sitting down and having an open-ended discussion with clients to determine what are the issues that they're facing and how we might be able to help them. Many people struggle doing those needs reviews, find it difficult. And so therefore, we'll sometimes use avoidance behaviour by using the fact that they've got a truckload of compliance work as an excuse as to why they may not have done it. Equally, many people don't like asking clients for referrals, and yet we know that asking for referrals is a key element in generating referrals. So it's a behaviour that we want people getting used to doing. Also, some people don't like the effort required and the going outside the comfort zone to get new clients in the business. So all of those things are things that make people a bit hesitant, a bit reluctant. And so what we need to do is to make them a bit more uncomfortable in a sense so they will actually start to do these things. And so I came up with this idea a while ago to try and help this and basically said we need to have a little score sheet for each team member to basically say they record down when they do needs reviews, they record down when they're asking clients referrals, they record down the new clients they've brought into the firm, and on a regular basis we can review those sheets and it will gives them a sense that there is some level of accountability, but also a sense of satisfaction if they're doing this stuff. The fact that they need to record it also continues to prompt them in their mind that they need to do these activities, and so they be more likely to get outside their comfort zone to actually do these things. Now, we also need to think about what's important to clients and are we measuring what things that are important to clients. So think about these performance measures. Turnaround time is a critical component for clients to ensure that we can turn the work around effectively. Some firms are quite aggressive about this and actively manage it and try and have turnaround times of less than a month, and depending on how aggressive you want to be. This applies just to any task, really. And if you're in a financial plan, you've got a financial planning business in your firm, you can apply a turnaround time to SOAs as well. Tracking client referrals to understand how many referrals we're getting, that shows that we've got to satisfy as clients. Checking client complaints, client churn, number of lost clients, essentially. share of client wallet is the out of the client spend on advisors, how much are you getting, just to see whether or not the client's valuing your service or whether they're using other advisors. Tracking client satisfactions, referrals to other divisions in the firm, such as financial planning, are all great measures that can be applied into a measurement system to show that we're doing things that are important to clients. And if we're doing these things well and getting good results on these performance measures, we are highly likely to have a very satisfied group of clients. Now, measuring client satisfaction can be somewhat tricky. Surveys really have limited use. If people try and survey me, for instance, they'll never get an answer because I never respond to any surveys. And so you'll always get a bit of a warped sample. And so one of the things which Mark and I have done for many firms is run client consultative groups where we actually get a dozen clients in a room and workshop them. And by doing that, you're getting more qualitative information and probably get better feedback that you can respond to by creating these face-to-face discussions to get a better understanding of what's working and not working from a client's perspective. Some firms have played around with the idea of a very quick little back of the fee note survey, asking clients, you know, these four or five questions, because you want to, if any surveys that you do, you really want to make them short and sharp because people don't want to spend 15, 20 minutes doing a survey. So that's another option. But as I say, I'm not wildly enthusiastic of surveys myself. In terms of team members, some KPIs that are worth pondering, which are pretty typical KPIs that are used in benchmarking surveys for the accounting industry: revenue per person, so the amount of, you know, total revenue of the firm divided by number of people. That's not a bad benchmark to have. Revenue per client, which is total revenue divided by client number of client groups. You want to be obviously trying to push that up because that means that we're hopefully broadening the services that we're providing to those clients. Revenues from new services for those clients. And the last one is average hourly rate. So some firms are quite good at doing this. When they're doing a bill for a client, one of the things they're tracking is the average hourly rate that they achieved with that bill. And you can track that over the whole year by taking the gross fees of the firm and dividing them by the number of productive hours. All of those are very good benchmarks to be tracking. And managing and monitoring, but it also gives you the opportunity to compare with other benchmarks on how you might be traveling. Now, accounting businesses in particular are team-based businesses. And so whilst I've been talking pretty much up until now about KPIs for individuals, we need to have KPIs around the team. And so I think this is where you can have the more financial, the financial-based KPIs. Production is dollars into WIP. So are we generating? So is this team generating enough dollars into WIP? Now, this is a team-based measure, not an individual measure. And I think it makes sense at a team base because what we're trying to do is get a lead indicator as to whether or not we're going to have a challenge getting our billings budget in the future. Billing speaks for itself. Write-off speaks for itself, although it always should be zero or negative, hopefully. And then managing the WIP balance, managing the number of days in WIP. Now, you might notice that I don't have collections and debtors here because I don't believe that accountants are great at debt collection, and I don't think they should be responsible for it. I see debt collection as pretty much a administration task in the firm, and the administration team should be responsible for the performance of the debt collection in the firm. So other KPIs that you might want to ponder internally facing is tracking team morale. So I've done this over the years by I created a little computer application at one point where there was a happy face, intermediate face, and a sad face, and the computer system would ask people to tick which one of those they felt like. And I did that over quite a number of months just to see how the morale in the firm was tracking. So that's one way you could be tracking morale. Team turnover is another way that you could be tracking how well team members perceive the firm. Innovative suggestions is another interesting way of tackling team member engagement, because if the team members are heavily engaged with the firm, they'll be more willing and interested in making suggestions about how the firm could improve. And so tracking all of these things can be good indicators as to whether or not we've got an engaged and interested workforce, which is pretty critical. Now, I think we've got an issue in many firms that we rely too heavily on the statistics to determine who are great team members and who are not so great team members. I actually am a bit more skeptical about that. You know, there are things that will pop out of the KPI performance system that will provide indicators for it. But I do think as well that the vast majority of you already know, without looking at any statistics, who are the people who are really performing in the firm and who need help. And so it's important that, yes, refer to the statistics, but equally don't lose sight of just your intuition about what's working and what's not working, and having conversations with people. Some people are very good at potentially manipulating some of these KPIs as well. So I think, take your blinkers off, talk to people, and I think you'll, as I say, you'll know who's performing and not performing. The traps don't have too many measures. It becomes a pain in the backside to measure. I've seen individual team members with something like 10 KPIs they're going to be assessed on. I just think that that's counterproductive, confusing, and loses focus on what is important. You want to focus on the key issues. And I think it's important as well that you've got to keep the accountability. You've got to ensure that you're having the conversations with people when they're not meeting what we've agreed. And then, as I say, with accountability, turning it into action, excuse me, so that we can ensure that that accountability is going to, the poor performance is going to be rectified over future periods. Now, the last thing I'm going to quickly talk about in the 30 seconds I've got left is this list on the left-hand side of the screen are all of the things that I think that you need to manage effectively in order to have a great business. So the question in my mind is, for each of the things listed on this screen, do you have a plan for the next 12 months? Do you have a list of agreed actions that you're going to execute over the next 12 months for each of these areas? Do you have somebody who's responsible for managing each of these areas? And do you have a good reporting process to report back on how you're tracking to what you've agreed that you'll be doing over the next 12 months to 2 year period? And this is important to ensure that we've got a focus on the business itself. You're all very busy professionals, and it's all too easy to fall back and service the client. But we don't want to end up like the plumber with leaky pipes and ignore our own business. So it is important that each one of these things gets some focus, gets somebody who's accountable for it and has a plan that they're executing to. And if you're interested in that, I have a sort of one-page plan template that I'm happy to send anyone if they'd like to get it from me how you can start putting this plan together. But out of a strategic planning exercise that you may want to embark upon, this is sort of a key element doing a business plan behind the strategic plan. So I'll leave it at this point, and I'll hand back to Andrea for some questions.
Great, thanks, David. Just a reminder, anybody, if you would like to ask a question now, you can just type that into your Q&A function there and I'll read that out for you. Just while we are waiting for questions to come through, I will provide you with a little bit more information about QuickFee, our webinar partner. QuickFee Installments is the first ever non-recourse advice now pay later solution for professional accounting firms. QuickFee Installments uses sophisticated technology to let your clients pay their invoices within a 4 interest-free monthly installments while you get paid in full upfront. It uses your client's existing credit and doesn't affect your client's credit file, making it the most responsible buy now pay later payment solution for your clients. There's no credit risk to you, no monthly fees, and no long-term contracts. And Smith Inc. has negotiated an exclusive 30-day free trial for you. Go to the website quickfee.com.au/Smith Inc, also shown on the screen there, and sign up using Smith Inc. as the promo code to get the 30-day free offer. Thank you, QuickFee. Let's see. Oh, I don't think we have many questions coming through, which is a surprise, David. Carly did ask if the presentation would be sent out, and yep, that will be sent out with the recording later today. And I'm just going to double check in here. Very good. Answered everybody's questions. Haven't overwhelmed everybody, maybe.
All right. So just as a reminder, we have our Young Guns event happening on October 11 and 12. I need to emphasise that if you register... even now, with all of these lockdowns, there is a 100% COVID guarantee that if the event is not held, you'll get your money back. So, obviously that's a pretty critical point. So I'd like to encourage you to have a look at, go to our website. You can download information about our Young Guns event. We've already got quite a number of people already registered for this. But if you've got up and coming young people in your firm who are stars of the future, young partners, etc., this event's been designed for them. We have a whole range of speakers gives you a whole a breadth of attacking different issues in the firm, such as leadership management and technology, etc. And for this year, for the first time, we've got the annual APS Young Guns Awards in conjunction with the event. And stay tuned for that. We'll be saying more about that a bit later. So go to the website, encourage you to access that. We have early bird pricing running at the moment, so feel free to register with confidence despite the weird world in which we're in.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, David. Good reminder. And I've just got a couple of questions that have come in. Well, Rodney has just said, thank you very much for providing useful information. And a quick question from Kate. Is there any dashboard software you'd recommend to share the starter with team members?
My quick answer to that is no, but yes. I'd be thinking seriously about using Microsoft Business Intelligence for a lot of this. It's a nice two points of view. One is it's a chance to come to grips with it and start using it, because I think it'll be a key platform in doing business advisory work going forward. And it's got nice dashboarding capability. So I think I'd think about using Microsoft BI as a way that you might want to do it.
Great. Thanks, David. And that is it for today. So thank you, David, for presenting. And thank you, everybody, for attending today. We will have the recording out later this afternoon.
Thanks, Andrea. Please, everyone, stay safe. And hopefully these lockdowns will be behind us in the not too distant future. Look forward to talking with you all again soon.